Daddy, what are you doing?
We're recording a podcast.
Who's listening?
Islander fans are listening.
Where are they?
Well, they're right here.
Welcome to the Isles Faithful Podcast with your host, Michael Schoerlein.
Welcome back to the Isles Faithful Podcast. I am your host, Michael Schoerlein, as always, and this is episode 31. Joining me this week is, or this episode, I should say, is Roger Luce of WBAB Long Island. Roger, how's it going?
Good, thank you. Good to be on.
Thanks. I was making fun of myself for falling asleep in the abyss of my daughter's bed the other night. Sorry about that. It's not a good look for me.
Yeah. No, that's quite all right. You know, it's funny. I said to my wife, you know, we had to reschedule it. I said to my wife, I said, Michael fell asleep in his daughter's bed. She started laughing. I go, I know. When my daughters were younger, they're 25 and 23 now. But when they were younger, I used to read to them at night. And I had this similar schedule. And at 7:30, 8 o'clock at night, I'd be reading a book, laying in one of those little, you know, the kids' beds that are like a little low to the ground, a little small, because my daughters were really young at the time. And I would doze off while I'm reading. They'd be like, Daddy, open your eyes. And like sometimes I had memorized the books because we read the same books over and over. And so I could actually read them with my eyes closed. But then I'd fall asleep. So that's not good.
No. And I always tell my wife, too, I feel like my daughter's bed is way more comfortable than ours. And we just bought a mattress, but I hate it.
Sleep number, bro. Sleep number bed.
You know, I'm gonna let her.
It's the best.
I'm gonna let her listen to this because I've been really pushing for one of those, but she's dead set against it. So
yeah, I've had it for 4 years. It's amazing.
Well, I'll have.
I also had to, in full disclosure, I endorse it on BAB. So I'm just saying. But I'm. It's honest. I mean, I'm sitting on it right now. We've had it for 4 years. It's great.
I will again let her listen to this. She's only listened to one episode, and that was the episode I posted this morning with Super Jack. I don't know if you got a chance to see all that awesome stuff what the Islanders did for him with meeting Robin.
I saw you mention it on Twitter. Oh, and I saw the picture. Yes, of him meeting Robin. Yeah, that was pretty cool. That was great.
It's awesome. NHL Now this afternoon with his mom. So he was talking to EJ Raddick and everything, and it was pretty cool. Wow. It's good yep. things. They're doing a walk in May also that I'm going to totally get behind and try to get some rallying things for them there.
Yeah, good.
So obviously I wanted to have you on for your ties to the New York Islanders. And for those that don't know who are listening, Roger is or has been the longtime voice in the arena that you would hear for penalties, for goals, for everything else. So he's got a pretty unique experience in that, so I'm gonna kick over to him, and he's gonna let us know how long he's been.
Oh, we just scored a nice goal. Nice. Sorry.
Yes, we did. Wow. There's like a weird delay over on my end, but yes, I just saw that.
Oh, you got it like 2 or 3 seconds after I did.
Yes.
See, I have maybe we have a little more bandwidth over here in East Islip. I don't know.
I don't know. Well, you know what it is? It takes a really long time for those packets to get all the way out to East Hampton.
Right. Oh, is that where you are?
Yes.
Oh, my God. No wonder it's three seconds delayed. Yeah, that's it.
The speed of light, but, you know, whatever.
Yeah. Sorry, that was just a nice, what a nice pass, nice goal. That was awesome. So, it's been, I've been doing it since 98. And actually, then we were up in the press row at the old Coliseum. The first two seasons I announced from up next to the organist and really far away from the off ice officials. And, that's just the way it normally was. And then it kind of got around the NHL about putting the PA announcer down, in between the penalty boxes, and man, that is the best job ever. Just that switch made the job just so great. You know, it's already good, but made it great to have the best seat in the house. I sit actually on the red line, and there's nothing better than that. Being able to see the puck going toward the goalie and knowing it's going in before he even sees it. Like, that's the angle that we have, you know, it's pretty cool. So, I've loved hockey since I was a kid. And so, having this job is, it's pretty amazing. So I'm very fortunate to be where I am. And, I don't do as many games as I used to because of my schedule, but, the games I get to do, I love to do. So I'm hoping to do a playoff game here and there. you know, I don't deserve too many. Honestly, I didn't do that many games this year, but Alex does a great job and he deserves all of them. But if I get a game at the Coliseum, I'd be thrilled. And then after that, you know, he can have as many as he wants, but I'm hoping for one. We'll see if I get one.
He does do a great job. I will give him that. But when you're, I don't want to say like a purist, but I was a season ticket holder for a long time. I grew up in Bethpage. Mm-hmm. So I was like, you know, 14 nice. Traffic lights from the Coliseum. I was very, very spoiled. A lot of people gave me tickets all the time when the Islanders weren't very good and they couldn't really fill the Coliseum. So I always went, you know, we used those student tickets like they were going out of style earlier, early in the 90s there. So I've definitely gotten to experience your voice. Plus working in construction for as long as I have, obviously we always listen to you and JP also.
Oh, nice. Thank you. That's no very problem. Nice of you. Thank you. No problem. I appreciate that.
Classic rock, man. You got it. I have to say it's the one thing that doesn't piss anybody off. So.
Yeah, it's good. You know, it's amazing. We were just talking about the other day at work, how like the music has lasted so long and it's to think of the bands like the Stones touring and they've done it for over 50 years, you know, and there's a lot of bands like that. And even if the bands aren't around, the music still lives. And like, you know, younger millennials are digging AC/DC and Guns N' Roses and the Stones and like, and Zeppelin. How does that even happen? Like when we were kids, you know, anybody who was a kid in the 70s or the 80s, think about if you thought music was cool, that was 40 years old or 50 years old and from the 70s or 80s, you're talking about music from the 30s and the 40s. No way. That stuff was horrible, you know, comparably. So it's incredible. It's been around that long, you know?
I think you could kind of, you know, blame that on technology and the way that music sounded then, you know, and you're listening to it on maybe. Like a, not even a record, like on a phonograph, you know, and the way that music sounded, not that it's bad, cause I don't want to like bash on doo-wop and all that other stuff. And,
no, every music has its appeal. No question.
And all that music all ties into each other because they take different things from different genres and sample and everything else and different sounds and things kind of just, you know,
yeah, there's something about rock, though, that it has some staying power. I don't know what it is. It's something that gives it a staying power. And maybe some of the music now will, maybe hip-hop will. You know, who knows what will be still going on 20 years from now that's already 20 or 25 years old, you know?
I look at it like this. I'm a big fan of, like, even, you know, like the 2000s type of rock. And what would they call that? New Age, I guess, like Linkin Park and... You know,
yeah, newer rock, whatever they call it. Yeah, it doesn't matter what they label it.
New rock. And some
it's
of
good
that
or it's not.
Some of that stuff is 20 years old even now. And it's
exactly.
Wow, like, what's going on here?
Yeah, the newer bands in quotes. Yeah, that's it.
So let's go back to Islanders hockey. So you do have a great seat there on the red line. And a lot of people have to be jealous for that, you know, because you guys don't have people standing up in front of you like you do when you're behind the bench or even in the corner, because then you can't really see the puck when it's in the corner if you sit on the glass.
Yeah, that's the one thing we miss, honestly, from those seats as well. You know, when you're on the glass, we're on the glass. I can't see the corners to my extreme left and extreme right, but, you know, that's what the big scoreboard's for. It's all right.
Replays.
Yeah, exactly. That too.
So... A lot of people wanted it, obviously me, to ask you if the move to Brooklyn was one of the deciding factors with your schedule and everything. So is that really a big part of it? Because I guess a lot of people do miss your voice.
Oh, that's very nice. I'm very humbled by that. That's really, really kind. And it's nice, by the way, I hear from a lot of people on Twitter and when I am there, and I have heard and over the years, and it's very nice. And as I said, humbling, but yeah, going to Brooklyn, as much as once I'm there, I really like the arena. From my point of view, I know some fans hate it, but whatever. The trip there and back makes doing a game about a 9-hour day. And that's why I can't do any during the week when we're, you know, doing the Brooklyn games. It's just impossible with my schedule. I'm up at 4:15 and we do a radio show from 5:30 to 9 on BAB. And then we have 2 hours off and then we do a talk show in Tampa, believe it or not. That we've been doing for about 4 years now, and it's very successful, doing very well. So we're on from 11 to 2. So if I get out at 2 and skip a meeting or two, because we don't really get out of work till meetings and we finish promos and recording and all that stuff. We don't really get out of there till 3 because we do the show from Tampa, from BAB on Long Island. So we don't really get out of the BAB building until 3. By the time I get to Brooklyn, you know, I got to be there by 4:30. It's impossible. And with the traffic and leaving, it just doesn't really work. And I haven't slept. I've been up since 4. And the next day, I got to get up again at 4:15. So, it's not really humanly smart. And so doing weekday games, it was a rare exception I did one. And it really took a toll on me. So I was like, probably not a good idea. So I would do just weekend games at Barclays. And then this past year, my schedule was ridiculous. So even some of the ones I was scheduled for, I passed off to Alex. And then I asked, just give me just as many Coliseum games as you want. But, you know, Alex still has to get his share, too. So I think I did maybe 13 or 15 games this year. And in the past, you know, I did 38 or 39 out of 41. But not now, since the new schedule. It's just not possible, both with my work schedule and with the geographical location of Barclays. So I'll do as many as I can, you know, as we go forward, as long as they'll have me. Because, like I say, I love working there. I love the people there. And, you know, the gig is the best. So.
Now, I want to touch a little bit before we go to far into like Islanders type things. What are some of the craziest experiences you've had down there? You know, when I talked to you prior to recording, you're sitting in between both penalty boxes and things kind of tend to get a little wild down there with the yelling back and forth after fights. And there's been water sprayed and water bottles.
Yes. That's one of my favorites.
So what is like the most insane story that you can share with the listeners?
Let's see. You know, and it's funny because it doesn't happen as much anymore. The players are it's really much more rare. The players are yelling at each other now. I think they all kind of made a deal, you know, if we're going to fight, we're going to agree to it beforehand. There's no surprises. And, you know, they're much more, friendly in the box. But in the past, you know, like you said, the water squirting. Well, I'm trying to remember who it was. Brad Isbister, I think, with the water bottle squirts. In the box. That was years ago. I wish I could remember who the other player was, but they were yelling at each other and squirting water from one penalty box to the other, and we're sitting right in between, and the water's landing on us. It was kind of funny. Then they threw the water bottles at each other. But the most probably absurd thing was one night Ty Domi was not feeling good. He was definitely playing sick. And, you know, that guy, you know, whether you love him or hate him, you know, he's a hockey warrior. And he got in the penalty box. And it was maybe the third period. It was later in the game. And he's like, man, I feel horrible. He goes, I've been feeling bad the whole game. He's one of the guys, not many guys talk in the box, but Ty Domi definitely did in the past. And I just remember him being really sick, saying he felt sick. And all of a sudden he just went, blip. And he kind of puked a little bit on the floor of the penalty box. And then this was years ago. And he says, I wonder how much they can get for that on eBay.
That's great.
And that's when eBay was maybe, you know, a couple years in, or, you know, whatever. It was a lot newer than now. This is a while ago. And, you know, just that was very, you know, it was just a funny thing. And a quick comment by him, even though he was feeling horrible. And again, you know, some of the guys come in and they're a little talkative and like, you know, it's just gotten lesser, you know. Aaron Asham used to be in the box quite often, and he would be a very friendly guy in there too, you know. No matter what's going on, tries to keep it light. Wayne Simmons from the Flyers would come in, and he talks a little bit, just I think out of frustration for getting a penalty, and he'll just sit there and talk. And not that we carry on whole conversations with these guys, because you know, we're doing our jobs. It's we can't really, but you know, a little word here and there is probably about it. But I think the water squirting and Ty Domi puking in the box is probably the two best things that happened in the penalty box.
Were there any players outside of the Islanders that were aware that, you know, you're a radio host?
I don't think the players really know. I don't think so. You know, I don't think they realize. I'm just the guy that guys have been there a while probably just recognize me as one of the guys sitting there. And then the funny thing is Alex and I kind of look alike in a way. We have the same male pattern baldness and similar facial hair. And so they probably, you know, they we're just a PA guy, you know, so I'm not sure they even have any idea. So but I used to actually, the only guy I really got to know was Michael Pekka, actually. Back in the day when he was the captain, we did like one or two appearances, you know, like he would get paid to go to, like a children's furniture store and appear there and sign autographs, you know? And so I coincidentally happened to be there for BAB and, because it was the same client of WBAB radio. So we would be there. He was there. I was like, hey, Michael, we got to talk. And he knew me from coming into the box. He knew I was there. He recognized me and we got to talking. And then we would say hello, in the rest of his time that he was there. So he's probably the one I got to know the most, which really doesn't say anything. It's not like I was over his house, you know, nothing like that.
Not hanging out in Huntington.
No, no. But I have gotten to know some really guys. Like I've known Jigs McDonald a long time, longer than I like to admit. He used to do an AM sports talk show on an AM station that the owners of WBAB had a long time ago, GBB in Freeport. And I used to see him all the time when I was much, you know, the very beginning of my broadcast days. And he was the nicest man who always encouraged me, always nice. And I have a picture of me in the announcer's booth with him from a few years ago. Well, right before the team went to Barclays. And Jigs to this day remembers me by my first name.
Wow.
Like, what a guy, man. He's just, Jigs is awesome. So
I was able to meet Jigs a couple of times myself.
Yeah.
Because I don't know if you remember, I was credentialed by the team for a number of years. And, you know, I got to experience a whole bunch of really cool things around the team. And, you know, Jigs is one of them, obviously. The Maven is being another big one. When Al Arbor came in for that 1500th win, I was there for that, and I have photos with him and stuff. And, you know, as a member of the media, you obviously kind of have to play things low key and, you know, not ask for autographs and everything. And
in a sense,
I kind of regret not being able to do stuff like that. But in another way, I'm so blessed in that I got to see things with a different eye and in a different light. It was just really cool.
Yeah, you saw people behind the scenes, you know, seeing Butch at dinner, you know, things like that when you're credentialed is great. I actually carpooled with Butch for the last couple of years, and that is like an absolute pleasure. He is just awesome. I love it. We would, a couple of the off-ice officials and me and Butch would carpool to Barclays. So it was always good to see him before the game, but then after the game too, we're driving home and he's got his phone out and he's watching the end of every game. And, you know, he's like doing almost like analysis as he's watching. Oh, that's a horrible play, you know, whatever. And it was like, it was the best ride home ever as Butchie would do analysis of games. It is great. So, he's another guy I've gotten to know who's just a real nice guy.
I love listening to Butch as much as sometimes he may stumble over the words here and there. Yeah. I think it just adds to like the whole aura around him and the type of character that he is. But I have
character's
to,
right.
I have to add, how good is Brendan Burke?
yeah. No, he's amazing. He's really amazing. And him and Butch together are, I think, really perfect.
I told Brendan this on Twitter. I said, you had really big shoes to fill when you came here.
It's true.
I think you outgrew them already.
Yeah, he is quite good. Really good at calling a game and painting a picture. Again, Howie was so good, and Howie does it with baseball. Oh my God. Howie does it with everything he does. But, Brendan is very good at painting the picture at hockey and, him and, you know, you have to get a certain knowing from how I work with JP every day. You have to have a certain chemistry and a certain back and forth. And you start to feel almost like in a band, the rhythm of what's going on. The only thing is, you know, the band rehearses the song. You're going live. So you guys have to just work off each other, almost like a jam band. And it takes a little while to get the chemistry, but those two guys, I think they've got it. And they are awesome to listen to. And even, you know, and like I have to give a shout out to Chris King too, who I know him very well. We've known each other a long time in radio, and just he is just ridiculous on the radio. I love the way he calls a game as well.
I
think we got a really good bunch of people calling our games, no matter how you want to see or hear an Islander game. I think you got a really good choice.
I listen, obviously, to Kinger every now and then, and I've had some good conversations with him over the years, and I've run into him in like really weird places. you know, as a typical Long Islander would, you run into people all over the place. It's a big island, but yet it's a really small island in the same.
Absolutely there. Right. Yeah,
but,
that's true.
I obviously watch more on the telecasts. Every now and then, you know, I might have like a hockey game myself or something where I'm going to listen on the radio. So I do really enjoy Chris King as well. He paints that same picture like Brendan, just in a way that
in a radio way
where you're on the edge of your seat while you're driving and you're gripping the steering wheel.
No
so
question
tight.
About
it's
it.
Like, oh my God, what's going on? Oh God.
Yep. His excitement level's awesome. I mean, you know what's going on, you know, and it really helps paint the picture with his level of excitement. You can almost stand up and you're like, if you're at the game, you stand up and you're out of your seat, you know, and you can feel it when you're in the car. It's great. I mean, that's what professionals do. So yeah, we're pretty lucky to have all these guys.
So we'll go now into everything with the Islanders this season. What was your reaction, you know, about Tavares, which you had a couple of great quotes for me for my blog, islesblogger.com. So we'll touch a little bit on that. We'll go into the Barry Trotz and Lou Lamoriello signings. And then, you know, what,
yeah, what quotes, what quotes did I give you about JT? I don't remember. That was a while ago.
It was July.
Yeah. That, oh my God. See? Yeah. I mean, I wish, can you imagine if this team had his 45 or 47 goals, whatever it is now, can you imagine if we still had him and all things being equal, everything else happened the same way? I mean, it wouldn't have, but it would be so cool. But, you know, like all fans, not thrilled with how the JT situation played out, but, I guess I'm a little more forgiving than some people because I'll tell you I think some of the stuff goes over the line. That's just how I feel. But also, you know, he could have done the situation better. But, you know, it's tough. You're in that, you know, I've negotiated contracts and sometimes, you know, you get dragged around by situations and sometimes it doesn't work out well. I don't know all the details of how it went, you know, behind the scenes there. Nobody really does. But, you know, he could have done it better. On the other side, some of it got a little ridiculous. But, you know, this is sports. Players move all the time. It's always a very emotional thing to lose your star player who you invest in and who you, in a sports way, love. You know, you put your heart and soul into that guy's heart and soul that he puts into the team. And so I think, but it happens in sports. So it's heartbreaking. When Tom Seaver was traded for the Mets, it was brutal. It wasn't Tom's fault in that case. But, you know, things like that, it kind of just gets you. It takes a little chip out of your sports heart a little bit. But, you know, if he handled a little better, it wouldn't be so bad. And I think the fans could have handled it a little better as well. But, you know, fans are allowed to cheer and boo and carry signs and change their shirts to traitor and, you know, whatever. It is what it is. And some of it was very funny. And we talked about it on the radio. And it's fine. And we move on, you know. And I hope, you know, we don't lose every game to the Leafs now. I hope it's not like a curse. Yeah. Because it's been you almost feel like you pay a price. You know, we won that game so big at the Coliseum when he first came back, and then we lost a couple poorly right after that, and then he beats us the other night. You're like, oh God. But you know, I don't really believe in superstitions. I've been making it up.
I as a hockey player am very, very superstitious to the point where I was at the game Saturday against Buffalo and I had to wear the same shirt.
Oh, you're one of them, huh?
The same jersey, you know, the same hat.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I went on Monday, and obviously it didn't really work. But
yeah.
So let me know how you feel about, you know, Lou Lamoriello and Barry Trotz and the way the season's progressed. Yeah. And, you know, we'll go quick through this because this is obviously.
Who doesn't like this? Who doesn't love what's going on here?
We've got 81 and a half games played here. So
yeah. I mean, how much progress has this team made in this 1 year? I mean, it's amazing. Really, really. I just, you know. I wouldn't make believe that I know enough to be able to criticize these two guys because they're so good at what they do. And I'll tell you what, a personal story with Barry Trotz. I was at Billy Joel at the Coliseum and with my wife, and I got to the beer line, and who's standing right behind me but Barry Trotz? Like, coach. And it was when he was, you know, just in the house. He just got here. And so got to say hi to him. He was surprised I recognized him because nobody really recognized him at the time. You know, it's a Billy Joel concert, so maybe not necessarily, you know, hockey fans. And I was like, it's so great to have you here. And, you know, he had, you know, been here for a few weeks. He was, we got a lot of work to do. You know, we'll be working on a lot of details. And I mean, that's exactly what you see is going on, right? We're getting 60 minutes. You know, as you know, in the past, I think that was a big criticism of the team, not playing full games. And now for the most part, you're getting that. You're getting an effort. And a quality of play, I think, from this group of players. And I think Anders being a captain is a big thing. And Barry Trotz, I think, is a huge thing. And Lamoriello's brain behind it. You know, as a fan with only, you know, this thimbleful of knowledge, that's how I feel about it. I'm so happy with how it's gone.
I think the biggest change for me is how cerebral Barry Trotz is. Everything you hear about him, he is a student of the game, and he doesn't leave his office until late at night. He's constantly going over tape. And,
yeah, you got to like those kind of coaches, you know, no matter what the sport.
You really do. And he's like a mixture of the best kind of coaches. He's a player's coach. Mm. He can get on his guys when he needs to. He knows when to push buttons and when not to. He knows when to give them a break. And he knows how to get them to respond to adversity, to when the game might not be going in their favor. How many times this season have they come back from two or three goals behind?
right.
like they did in Winnipeg.
Right, that's a big difference you see, right? Yep. That's a big difference you see, where maybe they would have not had the heart in the past, not had the ability to do it, or, and I don't know, they pick each other up now, and maybe he knows the right things to say, or it's months and months and months of being together and knowing that you got to give this guy everything because they know how much he's into it, and, you know, it flows. I don't know. I love it. I love the whole situation. And I love the fact that he's got, I don't even know if he really said the playoffs go through the effing island, but I love the fact that, you know, there's quotes and there's memes, and Barry Trotz is funny when he thinks people are saying, are they chanting Barry sucks when they're chanting Barry Trotz? You know, I mean, how do you, what a great guy, man. What a great personality, and, you know, lighthearted, and he seems like he's the whole package. So
he definitely, you know, is. And he definitely 100% said, you got to go through the effing island, because that was on the Capitals, ring.
That's great.
Presentation to him in the locker
room. Oh, it was that night. Right. Yeah. So, you know, over time, you know, you start wondering, did he really say it, or has somebody made the meme and thrown it in there, you know, and upgraded it a little bit? But, you know, how great is that? How inspirational is that? I love it.
He, you know, is really, really great guy from everything that I can tell and everything I can gather. I don't believe that I have met him before, but there was a time at Champions when Nashville had come in, I got invited over there by some of the Islanders scouts and stuff after the game.
Mm-hmm.
And I was introduced to a bunch of people from the Nashville organization. I believe it was the radio play-by-play guy and some of the assistant coaches. And I can't remember if Barry was there or not. And I feel like I would remember if he was.
Yeah.
But
I don't think so.
I mean, I was there. I was kind of blown away that I was even asked to go.
Yeah. That's good stuff.
But
yeah. And so then how great a season, right? If before the season they said, listen, let's say you finish with 99 points, we'd be happy. We'd all sign up for that back in the beginning of the season, you know? So hopefully we get, you know, another 2 or 4 points and we even go past that, you know? What a great year.
It has been a fantastic year. And I know you guys probably have talked about it a bunch on the show. I know in the times that I've been able to catch you guys, because it's tough, especially now at work. I'm constantly like in a building, or because I work in the school district. So
yeah,
if I do drive, it's only for 5 minutes between buildings, so I don't really get to listen all that often. I'm going to start making it a point to, now that I've had you on.
That's it. 95.3 on the East End. Come on.
Yep. I do, you know, like I said, it's on there. I do, unfortunately, listen to satellite a lot, and it's Sirius XM NHL radio for the most part.
So. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Well, that's good stuff. Yeah.
Anyway, what are your thoughts here now as we move, you know, through the last two games of the season? It looks like potentially they're going to be playing Pittsburgh. What are your feelings on that?
Pittsburgh, 2013. Yeah, that's all. All I think about is, first thing I think is the game with how many penalty minutes was it?
It was a lot.
It was a lot. Yep. And, you know, I write out all those penalties on my score sheet because I have to announce them. And I was front and back of a sheet and another sheet. I never, ever, ever have had to do that since 98. So everything against Pittsburgh was always good. You know, that's a great rivalry, just like with the Leafs, you know, earlier on, like in 02. Those are some great, great rivalries. So Pittsburgh's just another one. It's going to be a tough series, no question about it. But this is a different team. This is a, you know, I don't know. Bring it. Whatever anybody's got, just bring it. This team, I can't wait to see what they can do. I really can't wait to see it.
To me, I think the most exciting thing matching up with Pittsburgh this time is how their defense is a little questionable. You never know what Matt Murray is going to bring. He could either be on fire or he could struggle a little bit. He is a great goaltender, so they have to be wary about that. But if you were to take this team and put them – against Pittsburgh the last time they played them in the playoffs, where maybe a little extra goaltending, if the goaltending was there and the defense was there, we could have maybe pushed them.
Maybe.
This could be the year that, you know, they're going to hopefully steamroll Pittsburgh. I know I would love that. They've proved this season they could shut down Malkin and Crosby. The only person that really worries me is Letang.
Yeah, he always does. He's like, he's killer, man. He kills us all the time. Forever. I always feel like he's the guy to get. I know Crosby scores. I know Malkin scores. But for whatever reason, I feel like Letang is always like a pain in a thorn in your side, you know?
And it's always from like the blue line, like a little floater or something. He sneaks it through there. And
he's a good player.
He always looks surprised that it even goes in.
That's funny. Yeah, well, whatever it is, you know, I mean, the teams change and morph. And we know what we have this year. So whatever the uniform, like, it really doesn't matter what happened, you know, 6-7 years ago, or, you know, I never think that's a big deal. It's who's playing right now and how we're rolling. So I hope these last two games, we just keep some good positive play, solid play going, win or lose, but solid forward looking play, and maybe get some momentum going into the playoffs. And then, you know, then the second season begins.
Absolutely.
And I think this team has just, awesome potential. And let's see what they can do. They surprised us in the regular season. Let's see what these guys got, and let's see what they can do in the postseason.
I couldn't have said it better myself, and that's why you're the radio pro, and I'm a podcaster who has 31 episodes under his belt.
Nice, 31. That's awesome. Nothing wrong with that.
Well, 31 right
keep
now.
Keep at it.
This is 31. So.
Yeah. Keep at it. That's awesome.
All right, well. Hopefully we have a nice long run here. I appreciate you giving me the time two times.
My pleasure. No problem, Michael. My pleasure. Absolutely. Keep up what you're doing. Good job.
Thank you. I will I'll tag you on this when I get it up, and I will
please do.
I'll be listening to you tomorrow.
Nice. Thank you.
We'll listen to see who the player of the game is gonna be for Saturday.
That's right. Islanders player to watch. Yeah, very cool. Hey, thanks a lot. Appreciate it. It's a lot of fun.
No problem. Hey, real quick, let everybody know where they can follow mm-hmm. you on Twitter and everything about the show if they don't already know. I mean, if you're a Long Islander, you should know what WBAB is and who Roger and JP are.
Yeah. On Facebook, of course, it's our radio station is 102.3 WBAB in general. And then I'm Roger WBAB on Facebook. On Twitter, Roger WBAB. There's also, I also have another account called Roger on the Radio, because we have that second show in Tampa, which is going to be so weird during the playoffs, but whatever, you know, I got to deal with it. We have a lot of, you know, our radio show has a lot of fans in Tampa, and we've gotten to love that city and know those people. And I have a lot of respect for the Lightning, obviously. I think everybody does. But if we end up going far enough to play the Lightning, it always gets sticky having two audiences.
You know,
but
you
get me
do,
there, and
you could do a live show yep. right there from the Amalie Arena. How crazy would that be?
Yeah, I know. How ridiculous would that? Oh my God! I'll tell you what. The two times I've been there, we had a great time, great experience there. They do a good job there, really good job as far as the fan experience goes. But and then I'm on Instagram too at Roger on the Radio. So I'm around, you know, I'm doing my thing, and on the radio 102.3 FM. And on where you are in East Hampton, on the east end of the island, 95.3 FM every morning, Monday to Friday from 5:30 to 9. So busy. And that's good. I've been doing this a long time. I like being busy. It's better than the opposite.
All right, bud. Thank you very much for coming on. Again, if you don't know where to find my show, we're on Apple Podcasts. We're on Google Podcasts. We're on Stitcher. We're on Podbean. We're on TuneIn. We're on some other type of thing, Spotify. We're on YouTube. You could listen on the website, theislesfaithful.com. You can follow me on Twitter at IslesBlogger, and you can follow the show at Faithful Isles. We're also on the rest of the social media things that you could ever potentially want, which I probably don't use nearly enough, but it is what it is, right? So, Rog.
Great, Michael. Keep doing what you're doing.
Thank you, bud. Let's go
Islanders. Let's go, Islanders. See ya.